Praise God. How's everybody doing tonight?
Thank you.
I want to start off by saying that it's not what you think you can do, but it's about knowing what God can do in your life. See, the thing is, as our flesh, as humans, you know, there's always that, oh, well, I think I can do this. But the minute you think you can do something, you're already setting yourself up for failure, because then you're going to think about, well, I think I might mess this up this way. And it happens all the time. It happens no matter, I mean, even like working with Josh, there's so many things where it's like, oh, I think I can do this. But immediately it's like, oh, wait, but I know Josh, he likes everything done a certain way, and I know everything needs to be precise and cut a right way. So immediately my mind's already running to the negative. It's always running to not being confident in what I can do. You guys staying with me so far? See, but the thing is, but when you stay in Christ and you're focused on Christ, a boldness comes inside of you because you know that you have the victory through Christ. So therefore, it's no longer, well, I think I can do this, but it's like, I know I can do this because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, okay? So therefore, you're walking around now and your chest is puffed out a little bit because God, praise God, you can do anything. And then you realize, wait, what's going on here? Why am I messing up? Because then it's easy to, for one day or in a prayer meeting or in a worship service, to always praise God and then feel good because, you know, you have God at that moment. But it's when something comes your way, that's when you're going to get challenged. And there's been plenty of times in my life already, being saved for a year and a half, where I thought about, wow, praise God, like in the worship service, and then something comes my way and it's like, God, what do I do? Like, I don't know what to do. And then I'm not confident anymore because I haven't got a grasp of that victory. I haven't got a grasp of that confidence. And I haven't had the fresh revelation that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I realized that we talked about, well, you're either living or you're dying. But it's the same day. You're either focused with God or you're focused on yourself. Because the minute that you're focused on yourself, you're focused on your flesh. And your flesh is going to fail you because it's not your flesh that saved you, but it's being Christ on the cross that saved you. Are you guys with me right now? And when you get that, it's a victory, like I said before. And what I want to talk about, the example that I have two examples. I have my personal example, and then I have what I think is the ultimate example of it's not about you, but it's about God. You know, as you guys know, you know, Sarah and I are going to get married. And for these past 2 weeks, I've been frustrated because I've been doing all these, you know, I've been planning. But the minute that I lost the focus on God in my wedding and I started thinking about what I wanted to do and not what I can do to glorify God in my wedding, that's when things start to go downhill. That's when all this money, I was like, oh, man, how am I going to afford this? And then everything just seemed to be going wrong. And I was like, what am I going to do? I'm not going to have a tent and a photographer and all this and that. But it's always about what I wanted and not about, well, how can I glorify God? And I was like, God, what is this? And I just had enough. And I was like, God, I need you. I know you can supply all my needs. Why am I not glorifying you in all these decisions that I'm making? And then that's when I read this. It's in Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in the loneliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also in the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant or slave in some translations, and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. And that hit me. It was like somebody grabbed me by the collar and just threw me up against the wall, because I realized that everything that Jesus did, if you study the life of Jesus and his walk, he did it by the obedience of the Father. See, now, it doesn't talk in the Bible, but, and I don't know this, it's just this, you know, if you want to go and think about some things, but it's like, I wonder, did Jesus ever do something that he didn't want to do? I mean, if you knew that you were going to be sent to the world, you're going to be made a slave in the likeness of man, even though you have the same power as God, but yet you're going to be hung up on a cross, you're going to be stabbed, you're going to be mocked at, you're going to be spat on, people are going to poke you, and you're going to be bleeding on this cross. I mean, would you really want to do that? But the thing is, Jesus, he didn't do it because he wanted to. He did it because it was about God and it was about us. It was about what his Father wanted to do. So if you think about that, it was him focusing on God and not focusing on himself, not him focusing, oh, well, I don't want to hang on this cross so I can free everybody and then all their sins can be forgiven. See, but the thing is, the minute you're not focusing on God, you're thinking about yourself. So in that sense, you're actually thinking that you're better than Jesus, because then you're going to say, oh, well, I don't have to focus on God, even though Jesus had to forgive us for all our sins. Is that okay to say that, or? Okay, cool. So the thing is, when I got that revelation that it's not about me, it's about God, and I want to glorify God in everything that I do and all my decisions for this wedding, that's in about a week and a half, we got we've already been blessed. We're gonna get a brand new car when we get back from India. Basically, it's a 2006 RAV4. We've been blessed with our honeymoon already. We're going on a cruise 7 days, 3 days in Bermuda. We got a tent that's about $400 cheaper than every other quote that we've been looking at. And we also got a photographer who we really wanted to take pictures for us, but then he offered us a price and blah, 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 blah. Long story short, he emailed me yesterday. He's like, you know what? I'm really going to meet you at your price because I would be honored to shoot your guys' wedding. So that's four things now because I focused on God and I stopped focusing on myself. And I was just like, praise God. But it's all good now, but I know there's going to be a challenge that's going to come my way again soon. And I'm going to have to think about God then, because like I said, we can always glorify God in these worship services and in the prayer meetings, but it's when the challenges comes. It's when we realize that, you know what, I don't want to do this today, but I'm going to do it because it's not about myself. I don't want to wake up at 8:30 in the morning to go pray with Brian and all those other crazy people and go and evangelize today, but you should do that, because it's not about what you're going to do for somebody when you're out there on the streets, but it's what God's going to do through you. It's in those times that you realize, you know what, I don't want to do something today. But when you don't want to do something, you actually do it. That's when you get something that's going to help you later on in life. All right, guys? So I'm thinking about all these things like, wow, praise God. Like, oh, this is so cool. You know, it's not about what I want to do, and it's all about what God wants me to do. And it just frustrates me sometimes because I think about these things, and it's in like the littlest forms of obedience. I mean, it starts with your parents and it starts with people that you work with. And it just hit me so hard this week that I think about, all right, so some kids, they don't want to listen to their parents and they want to do what they want to do. Like I asked one of the guys in my home group this week, I was like, so what did you do this week that you didn't want to do? And he's like, well, I did this, this, and this, and this. And I was like, cool. So did you do anything that you didn't want to do? And he's like, yeah, well, my mom asked me to put my clothes away. And I was like, well, did you put your clothes away? He's like, no, I didn't put my clothes away. And I was like, oh, well, how come you didn't put your clothes away? And he's like, because I just didn't want to do it. I was like, oh, okay. And then it hit me right there on the spot that your parents are basically the training wheels to actually listening to God. Because the thing is, if you're not going to listen to your parents, you're not going to obey your parents, then when actually God comes now to speak to you as a man or as a woman, you're not going to be able to listen to him because you'll be like, you know what? I'm going to do what I want to do. See you later, God. And you're going to go and do that. So praise God, because when you get this revelation that it's not about you, so many things come your way, because that's when you're focused on God, and that's when the blessings can actually become and be poured on you. I mean, even Squeaky G rapped about it. I don't know if you guys have that CD, but he does that rap like, it ain't about you and it ain't about me. It's all about Christ. That's why we do what we do, because it is all about Christ. Because like I said, when Jesus died on the cross, when he was hanging there on the cross, it wasn't about him at that time. It wasn't about him. When people were stabbing him and they were making fun of him, all the King of Jews, it wasn't about him. It was a decision that he made because he knew that it would free all of us in that. So if you think about what Jesus did, and we're called to be followers of Christ, then you need to be in the mind. It says here, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. That was the mind of Christ. It was the sacrifice. So therefore, if you want to be as Christ and you want to do the things as Christ, then you need to think about sacrifice. And you need to think about every day. It's a choice that we have to make every day when you wake up and you pick up that cross and you say, it's I that no longer lives, but Christ that lives inside of me, and I have been crucified with Christ. When you think about those things every day, that's when you're focused on God. And that's when things that financially, in a relationship with your parents, anything else that comes your way, it's not going to bother you. Somebody can say something really mean to you out on the streets, but it's not going to bother you because they're not saved. But the thing is, if you're not focused on God at that moment and you're in the flesh, then you're not actually going to show them the love of Christ, because then it's your flesh that's going to react to them and not the love of Christ that's going to react to them. So I just want to share that with you guys and just encourage you every day to make that decision and stay focused on God and not yourself. Because like I said, it's either you're living for God or you're not living for God. Either you're focused on God or you're focused on yourself. And I'm going to tell you guys, your flesh isn't going to prosper. It's not. It's all about God. Because in a week and a half, the minute I made the decision that I was going to focus on God, and every decision that I wanted to make, I wanted to glorify God in my wedding because of what's going to happen in my wedding, then that's when I got four blessings, four huge blessings. And it's just like, I can say praise God, but even that feeling inside of me, knowing that all it took was for me just to get my head straight and get my focus straight and get the revelation that it's all about you, God. It's a feeling that you can't describe in words. It's a feeling that it's like butterflies all over again. Like when you first meet the girl, or it's like butterflies when you fall in love. It's Jesus is my beloved, you know, like I'm his wife, and it's amazing. So I just want to encourage you guys with that. Just to stay focused on God.
Good job. Hello. How are you doing tonight? Good? You doing good? Let me see you smile. Can you smile? Remember, focus on God, not on me, because I'm going to be reading from the Word, and the Word is God. Okay? The Word became flesh. I want to thank the leadership in the house for allowing me to do this tonight. I want to thank everybody for being here and the leadership for acknowledging the gift within me. Enough of that. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, you are mighty. You are wonderful. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask that you come and you dance around this room. You dance and you write on the hearts of people, Lord, what you want them to hear. Let them perceive it from a Holy Spirit view. Let my lips be the pen of a ready writer in your spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I had a little fun with this during the week. I've been putting it together for about a week. And I tell you, I know it's God because I've been getting beat up all week by the enemy. Don't tell them that. No, you're not going to do it right. You know, they don't want to hear that. You're going to be preaching condemnation. You're going to be doing this. You're going to be doing that. You know, and then it's like, you know, you keep fighting through that voice, you know, that tries to discourage you and tries, you know, to not let you bring forth what God has in mind. It's funny. The confirmation I got today is when I was going over some notes. I was on the Bible Gateway. And today, every day they have a verse of the day. And this is the first day I went to the homepage. So I went to the homepage, and the verse was of the day related right to what I was going to be preaching. So that really encouraged me, you know. So we're going to talk about relationship, but we're going to talk about reconciliation or reconciliation. And I wore this shirt today, and this is a shirt that when I used to coach a little girl's basketball team, they gave us this shirt. And as we were worshiping, the Lord said, it's not a coincidence you wore this shirt, because you're going to coach you guys through this process of reconciliation, process of your choice of whether you're going to reconcile or wreck affiliation with somebody. Reconciliation is a process of making compatible, to bring in agreement and harmony, to restore to a common union. So that's what reconciliation is. Wreck affiliation. Now, the word affiliation means to associate with, to accept as a member, someone who you would be connected with. So you either reconcile or you wreck. You smash up to be affiliated with somebody, to be associated with them, to be connected with them. You bang that up. And we talk about relationship. Jesus came. Jesus was sent and came so that we may be reconciled to God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:18. It says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is a process by which God and man are brought together again. See, God had to send Jesus so he could shed his blood, take upon himself all our sin, so that we could be free. So we could be free to be reconciled with him. Because in order to dwell with him, we have to be free of sin. Right? God and sin don't dwell together. So Jesus has taken our sin, has forgiven us of our sin. This is made possible through Jesus' blood, which demonstrates the power and the model of reconciliation. Jesus was our model. Jesus was our example. Okay, everything that Jesus did in this book, he exampled. He did it to show us how we should do things. And reconciliation, I don't believe it's just for to be reconciled with God. That's a big deal. That's the biggest deal. However, he wants us to be reconciled to one another. We need to be one who helps others and find relationship with God. And in finding a relationship with him, we find relationship with one another. You know, it says that he fills my cup. You know, without getting from God, you can't give out. Okay, the agape love that God gives to us, that he wants us to give to one another, we can't do that. We can't give what we don't have. Okay, and that's a process. We go day to day acquiring that from God. Get day to day, God, give me the love I need today for the people I'm going to run across. Give me the love for the one I don't like. Only his love will conquer. If we go to John 13, are you following me so far? Awfully quiet. I don't hear no amens. Amen. Hallelujah! It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Bring your glory, your kingdom from heaven to earth. John 13, 14 to 17 says, if then your Lord and teacher, okay, your example, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, what was that song said? Jesus said? Jesus said, Jesus is said unto you. I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus is saying in here that nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. Jesus is relating to the Father, that he's not greater than the Father. He takes a servant. We need to seek what would benefit others, prompting the cause of the gospel. Jesus said this. He was preparing to leave his disciples. He knew that this was important to him. He knew this needed to be passed on. This is a lifestyle he was showing us. Being a servant, self-sacrificing, humble, loving. He just washed the disciples' feet. Even Judas's feet, his betrayer. He showed love to Judas regardless of what Judas was about to do, betray him. And right after that, in John 13, 34 to 35, Jesus says this. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, during the revival, we were talking, Vaughn was talking, a lot of buzz around that the new wave of the kingdom dynamics would be the love of God. Okay? I believe we're moving in that right now. I believe we need to love and learn how to love one another right here in the body of Christ. Okay? I think that if we don't do it here and we don't reflect it between one another, regardless of what comes against us, that we will not reflect Jesus. And as Paul would say, me, the chief of sinners. I'm not talking, you know, Chris said last week when he preached, he says, I'm preaching this to myself. Yes, I'm preaching this also to myself. Jesus says that we should be ambassadors. Ambassadors. Like when you go to the English embassy or you go to the American embassy, there's an ambassador. And when the ambassador stands there, he, you know, picture like he's standing there. He represents whatever he does, and people are watching. Whatever he does, he reflects the country that he's standing in front of. Okay? So we as ambassadors of Christ, we need to reflect the King. You know, somebody asked me, what's the kingdom of God? Well, if you want to know the kingdom of God, look at the King. Look at the King. What's the kingdom of God? Love, mercy, grace. Now, I also know that, you know, you can't get all lovey-dovey and lovey-dovey about everything. I mean, God's love is also discipline, and there's times and places where people need to be, you know, put straight about a few things. But that's a whole nother sermon, okay? I want you to hear what I'm saying, not what I'm not saying. I want you to eat the chicken and spit out the bones. Okay, in Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind to one another. That's pretty direct. Be kind to one another. Now remember, we're talking about reconciliation compared to affiliation. Now if you do these things, you will be reconciled to one another. But if you don't do them, and you do the other things, which we'll get into in a little while, you'll see that there'll be a breach. See, I always believe that anything that separates us is not of God, because God never talks about us being separated. But things that bring us together is God. Okay? Because he came for each and every one of us. He came for me when I didn't even care about him. He came for you when you didn't even give him the time of day. I remember, I heard it the other day, some lady said, I know there's some kind of force up there. Oh, I know it's there. That's the same lady, I'll tell this testimony, I told Vaughn the other day. We were doing a deck one day, and it started to rain. And it couldn't rain. I mean, we were just getting ready to do the floor. It can't rain on the floor. So I'm sitting in the car, we were having lunch, and it started raining, and I just had this thought. Jesus was in the boat, and he spoke to the storm, and it stopped. So I said, why can't I do that? So I said, rain, stop in Jesus' name. And in not in 5 seconds, the rain stopped. So this lady that said to me, I know there's a force up there. I was telling her this story. Now listen to this. It's a part two to this. I'm telling her this story. And she says to me, she goes to the window. She goes, oh, look, it's raining. Can you stop it raining now? I said, oh, boy, I just told her the story. I'm in deep kimchi. So what am I going to do now? So I said, well, we're just going to have to. We went to the sliding glass door. We looked out the deck. And I have to be honest. I didn't feel no anointing. I didn't feel no faith. I was going, you know, because I started to say, well, you know, you've got to have the anointing. I said, well, all right, let's just try it. So even though I was faithless, listen to what God does. So I look out and I go, rain, stop in the name of Jesus and do it for Phyllis. That was her name, Phyllis. So we walk away from the window and we walk maybe about 15 feet. And she turns around, we're talking, she looks out the window. She says, stop raining. I said, thank you, Jesus. But I, of course, I started to try to witness to her then. But that's when she said, oh, I believe there's a force there. Now, you know, that's what we're up against. I mean, she just had a miracle right before her eyes. But she's still saying, I believe there's a force up there. You know, and even, and I identify with that. I remember a spot, a specific time where I was standing in my life when I said the same words. There's a force out there. Certainly is a force. It's a power. And love. Love is the power. Love is what nailed God to the cross, Jesus to the cross. The Father's love. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God Christ forgave us. Ooh, some powerful stuff. He forgave us. So how do you wreck affiliation? Well, you wreck affiliation by the things you say to one another, by some of the things you imagine in your head about one another. If somebody says something to you, you perceive it all bass-ackwards. Can I say that? Shouldn't I say that anymore? I said it. Too late. Too late. Too late. You knew what I meant, though, right? You won't forget that. Because you perceive it all backwards. Or you think you know what they meant. Or if you're somebody who's a little fragile, you may usually take it wrong. Okay? And you really won't know what the person meant until you go up to them and ask them. In Matthew 18, it says, go to them and ask them. Don't have vain imaginations that are going to separate us from one another. Or you can listen to the accuser of the brethren. Oh, that Josh, man, I'll tell you. That Josh. You see what he did the other day when he was down over there? Oh, that Josh. You know, and he'll convince you, and he's a liar. However, he knows just where to lie to you or how to lie to you. And you know what? You need to make sure that you learn that voice and you learn your own inner voice, but also you learn God's voice. You learn the difference of those three voices so you know where it's coming from. And the only way you do that is you listen. You listen clearly. And the voice of God always lines up with this word. Always. Where am I? Kingston. I'm in Kingston, right? Yeah. Oh, boy. James 3 says that this little tongue, even though it's a little member, it boasts great things. But it's also full of deadly poison, it says. full of deadly poison. That doesn't sound like God to me. With it, we bless God and curse man. Proverbs 18 in the Amplified and Proverbs 26, 22. 18:18 and 26:22. It's in the Bible twice, the same verse, basically. It says, the words of a talebearer, a tattletaler, or a talebearer, or a whisperer. A whisperer. Now, usually when you're whispering, you don't want everybody to hear. You know, it's usually like a secret. And the reason why you don't want everybody to hear, because it's a deadly poison. It says that the words of a talebearer or a whisperer are a dainty morsel. A dainty morsel, a little morsel. Okay, you know what a morsel is? It's almost like a chocolate chip, a little smaller. A morsel that goes down into the innermost part of the body. So if somebody has an attitude or, a negative attitude about somebody else or, like, did you see what, like, if I was to say to somebody, you see what Josh did? Or, Aaron, you saw that, right? You know, or just agreed with the negativity and you pass it on to somebody else, it goes right inside the innermost part of their body. It's hard to shake. Ask me how I know. How do I know? I'll tell you. I'll tell you how I know. I had a lot of people in the years that I've been a Christian come up to me and said, do you see what he did? Or did you see what she did? And why did they do that? And why did they do that? And the next time I come up to them, even though, you know, I might have said to them, you need to go and tell them about it. Even though that was the case, that morsel still went inside my body. So first when I saw them, the first thing I thought about was that morsel. And I'll tell you, if I could have told them quick enough to shut up, sometimes you're not quick enough, and it gets there. And you've got slime on you from someone else's poor attitude. We need not, you know, you have a problem with somebody, grow some courage. Grow some courage and go, hey, man, I didn't understand why you did that. Can you tell me? Or, you know, that hurt me. That hurt me. Why did you do that, man? I want to keep our relationship fresh and clean. But it hurt me, man. Can you tell me why? Did I do something to you? Grow some courage. Courage! Fire king of the forest! We having fun yet or what? Where am I? Oh, I'm still in Kingston. Okay. 2 Timothy 2:16-17 says, shun profane and idle babblings. Shun them. Get away. Get away. Some of you are old enough to remember those were the days with Carol O'Connor, All in the Family. Meathead would come to me and go, get away, get away, get away, get away. Get away. That's what you got to do. Get away. Get away. Shun. Get away. Far away from idle babblings. Why? They will, not maybe, not sometimes, but they will increase to more and more and more ungodliness. Ungodliness. And their message, listen to this, their message, remember the morsel? This is a little more powerful. Their message will spread like cancer. The biggest epidemic we have in this life now is cancer. Your idle babblings, the things you say to one another, the things you say to your own self in your own head that you convince yourself that are untrue. Only because you didn't have the courage to go and ask somebody. Matthew 18, why? Why did you do this to me? And, it, you know, it's not even about yourself sometimes. Why'd you do this to me? It's about, Jesus said, that we need to love one another. And that's part of loving one another. And I can't love you if I have offense in my heart against you, or if I'm wondering why you have an offense in your heart over me, because I'm going to stay far away from you if it's not clean, if it's not clear. Okay, we can go to Matthew 5. This is where I actually started, and it's on page 4. Matthew, that's in the New Testament, right? Hello, you out there in TV land? Matthew, what did I say, 5, 43 to 48. You have heard that it was said. See, Jesus was getting, he just left. He was getting ready to go to the cross. He washed the feet. He told them to love one another. Okay? Just a little while later, he tells them, you have heard that it was said. So you heard it, and we said it. He said it, because they heard it. But did you really hear it? But he said it. You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now that's what was said. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. I didn't say it. He said it. It's in red. But I say to you, love your enemies. Now the rubber's hitting the road. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? It's easy to love people that you're like-minded with. It's easy to love people that know about the same things you know about. It's easy to love people you hang with. It's easy to love the people that don't hurt you. It's easy to love people that don't persecute you. But he's saying here in red that you need to love your enemy. He says, don't even the tax collectors love one another? Now, he's saying tax collectors because the tax collectors in those days were like the evil people. You know what I mean? The tax collectors, they're taking my money. Tax collectors. Okay, I remember growing up, and I one of the things I thought about is there's also a statement, there's honor amongst thieves. Like, usually a thief won't steal from another thief. Silly, isn't it? Honor amongst thieves. It's like an oxymoron. There's honor amongst thieves. Well, I'll go on and read some more. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect. Perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. The Father's perfect love. He loved those who didn't love him. He loved me before I didn't love him. He loved you before you didn't love him. Jesus at the cross, one of the last things he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They persecuted him. Were they his enemies? I think so. Stephen, while he was being stoned, he said, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. It sounds like, Father, forgive them. Romans 12:10. How are we doing? Good? We getting anything from this? Good? Good. I'm expecting all kinds of hugs after this. I need a lot of love. Oh, boy. I need a lot of love. If you want to love me, it's okay. I'll let you. I can't even find Romans, never mind love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the humor, Lord. Thank you that you are joyful, Father. That your joy is our strength, Lord. Romans 12, 10 to 21. That is a little long one. It said, be kindly affectionate to one another. With brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. You know, I have to confess, brother, that's why I moved my seat in that room. Because I had to practice what I preach. I walked into a room and sat in his chair. Now, I didn't know it was his chair, but it was his chair. And he said something to me, and I said, gee, it says give preference to one another. I better do that. How can I come up here and say that and not do that? You know, prefer one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. See, now when I did that, I might have done it to Josh, but I was also serving the Lord because the Lord told me to do that. Like I listened to my daddy, like X was saying, you listen to your parents, it's like learning how to listen to God. So, am I still in Kingston? Yeah, okay. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality, helping wherever you can. Wherever you can. You see, you're walking down in the cafe and you see a piece of paper, pick it up. You don't have to say, who put this paper here? Pick it up. Pick it up. There's a garbage can 10 feet away. I heard this. I don't know if you know who Roy Smalley is, but Roy Smalley once did an illustration. He said, he told this story that he got hired for this real, real good job. And the reason he got hired for the job is because the guy that was hiring people, the people were coming up to him. Well, he walked by, he picked up the paper, threw it in the garbage, and then when he got up, he put his seat back in. So the guy gave him the job because he saw that he did stuff that he wasn't supposed to do or wasn't his responsibility, wasn't required of him. And it also says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Unity of the spirit. Be in the same mind. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Don't think you're hot stuff. It's all about Jesus. There's something about a song with a crown over there before. Keith Green. Don't go reaching for the crown. Go reaching for Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Repay no evil for evil. Say repay evil with good, right? Did I say that? Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is at all possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. That's the Lord. Vengeance is the Lord's. He will repay. It says, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if you're hungry, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap. You will heap coals of fire on his head. Got the will and the heap. Weep. You will heap. Now, heaping coals is a positive thing. You know, it's like shame them and humble them into turning in their ways. Okay, let's go to Matthew. Well, I'll read it. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called sons of God. Peacemakers. Now, like I said before, I was trying to coach you into things, okay? Reconciliation or reconciliation? Are you going to mend or are you going to continue to break? Are you going to love the Lord your God with all your heart? Well, one of the ways you love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul is to love one another, because that's loving him. Watch our mouths, watch our vain imaginations. Confront. In love, of course. Don't go up to somebody and say, yo, man, I heard what you said. I'm going to lay hands on you, man. You too. No. In love. In love. Everything's done in love. Now, blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers are happy. They're happy people. They love and they desire and delight in peace. A peacemaker delights in peace. They keep peace that it may not be broken and recover it when it is broken. I know that only so well, because whether I want, all my life, I've been in the middle of things. Trying to mend this one to that one, even in my childhood. Romans 14. I'm going to be getting ready to wrap it up. Hope I'm not boring you. But it's the Word of God. How can it bore you? To keep focused on Jesus, not on me. No, Romans 14, 17 to 19. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make peace and the things by which one may edify another. Prefer another, edify another. 1 Peter 3:8. Okay, we're going to be wrapping this up now. Finally, all of you be in one mind, be in the unity of the Spirit, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. You'll hear more about the lips tomorrow. You got to be here. It's going to be good. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. You know, if we walk in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, peacemaker walks in peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, there's no law against these things. If we walk in the Spirit, all everything we talked about will follow. It'll just follow. It'll just come natural. So get in your prayer closets and receive from the Lord what you need for each other and for yourselves. And give it out. And bring the kingdom of God to the people around you. Doesn't matter whether they're saved or not. If you practice in bringing the kingdom of God to people, if you practice modeling the kingdom will come automatically. May we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace, to love one another with a pure heart, fervently, and walk humbly with your God. Can you play that? This is the end. I'll leave you with this. Maybe this will leave an impression on you. Thank you all.
He doesn't walk very good, does he?
Dumper?
Yes, Mama.
What did your father tell you this morning?
If you can't say something nice,